May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. 806.
Thank you.
Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the 7th year thou shalt let it rest, and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the 7th day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labours which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labours out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, we need thee now to draw near and to help us, dear Lord, as we gather in thy courts to worship thee. Oh, we pray that we may be as dear John on the Isle of Patmos, and be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And oh, dear Lord, may thy Spirit rule our spirit. And may we have the mind and the spirit of Christ. For thou hast said, except ye have the spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and solemnize our minds and our hearts. Do draw us away from the things of time, the many cares of this earth. May our hearts and our affections be set on things above. And oh, may our souls be on the reach, reaching out for thee, that we might know more and more of thy love, thy mercy, thy goodness, thy kindness to us. But, O Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and the precious blood of Jesus. And, oh, that we may have that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. Oh, do grant us that heavenly boldness to come as the apostle desired. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh Lord, we come as a poor, needy, helpless sinner. Oh, ever keep us from just lip confession. But may we know what we have been singing, Lord. The sea sin smart but slightly to own, with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are weighed down and burdened by sin, and by sin oppressed. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bring us, Lord, to thy feet, to truly weep and mourn over our many sins, and after thee, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, may we be ever, Lord, as real penitent sinners, and given by thee that godly repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Oh, do wash us, dear Lord, in that precious fountain. How we need thee to purge us and make us white in the blood of the Lamb. And we would pray with David of old when he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, may each longing, seeking, burdened soul this day have the sweet assurance that thou didst come to suffer, to bleed, to die for them, and that thou hast put away all their sins. And may we know, dear Lord, that sweet peace of Calvary, that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, do empty us of self, empty us of all our natural religion. Do empty us, Lord, of all the pride and wickedness of our hearts, and all self-righteousness. And oh, may we be truly humbled in the dust and found at thy dear feet, and be as nothing, that our precious Jesus may be the all and in all. We pray that we may have a sweet and sacred sense of thy felt presence, dear Lord, both in our hearts and within these walls. Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls, that we may hear thy voice. Lord, do apply thy word with divine power, that it may be life and power to thy people. Do bless that which we have read together from thy holy word. Do bless the hymns to our souls. Lord, do help us, Lord, to preach thy word. And may it be the word of the King of Kings to some poor seeking, longing soul. Do come and visit thy helpless people. Thou knowest how poor and helpless many feel. But oh, may they prove that thou art their helper, their strength, their all. And those, Lord, are seeking a portion for their souls. Oh, do enable them to give thee no rest and to continue seeking unto thee, for thou hast promised that they that seek shall find. And oh, do remember, Lord, those that walk in trying difficult things, that thou would appear for them and make a way, dear Lord, and deliver them from the trials and from the troubles and from all the oppression they have to walk through. And may they see thee work wondrously. And oh, we pray for the dear children and that thou wilt bless them, Lord, and work in them while in their early days. May they be given a gracious appetite for the truth, a real hunger and thirst for thee and for thy word. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Do bless the Sabbath school and help those that lovingly seek to instruct the young. And may thy word enter into their young hearts. And it be a word that they shall never forget. To guide and direct the dear young people. We pray that they may be helped to commit their way to thee and to seek thy will in all things. May they be guided and directed of thee and led by thy Holy Spirit. For thou hast said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt confirm thy word and confirm thy work, both in our souls and in the dear young ones as well. We pray thou would hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring and send down those answers of peace. Oh, we would pray for those in affliction's pathway. Many are laid aside, Lord, for those with us that have their afflictions. Those may be unable to come, Lord. We think of those in much weakness. We think of Emily and others, Lord, in all their weaknesses and afflictions. And we pray, if it's thy holy will, thou wilt send that needed healing and restoring. And oh, may these things, dear Lord, all be sanctified, that out of the bitter there may come forth that which is sweet. Lord, the power's thine. And oh, we pray that thou wilt comfort, Lord, all those that are sorrowful, the bereaved, and those that have suffered loss, Lord, in many ways. We pray thou wilt make up the breach, and that as thou art removing thy dear children home, may there be others raised up, Lord, to fill their places and to be useful in Zion. And thou wilt fulfil thy sweet promise that instead of the fathers shall come up the children. Lord, may it be so. There might be those to follow on to know the Lord. Remember, we pray all that need thee, whatever be their state or case. We pray thou would undertake. And do remember, Lord, Zion, this solemn time we find many are in a very low place, Lord, and we beg of thee to appear. And do bless thy dear people here and add to them in the church too and in the congregation. May it be so in our own flock, dear Lord. There may be a filling of the empty seats with hungry souls crying, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Oh, we pray that thou wilt work and quicken many into life May there be prodigals brought to return, for many have forsaken Zion's ways. May there yet be a blessed returning of thy dear chosen children. Who help thy dear servants. We pray especially for thy dear servant with our own flock today. He may be granted that gracious liberty and the anointing of thy spirit, and given strength in his weakness and great age, Lord. May thy word through him be life and power to thy dear people. And all may each of thy servants be graciously anointed to preach thy word, and be instant in season, out of season. Lord, in mercy do appear in the nation. Lord, what can we say? Thy hand is gone out against us. Wickedness and sin runs down our streets. Lord, we beg of thee to make bare thine arm and to work in our leaders and rulers, in the established church too, and turn many from serving themselves and serving man to serve thee, the only true God. Nor may there be those in authority, Lord, brought to seek thee in all the affairs of this land, and seek for thy will to be done. Do bless our Queen, and remember her and Prince Philip in their great age. We pray thou wilt spare her to the nation, if it's thy will, for a season yet. May she and may he and the royal household be blessed with those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus, and brought to set a right example in this land. Remember all we would and should pray for, and all that are oppressed and persecuted. Remember thy people that are at the ends of the earth, and help them to look to thee, and to seek thy face. And, O Lord, we would praise thee for all thy many mercies in providence and in grace, all thy goodness to us, unworthy as we are. We would love and praise thee more. We seek for thy divine help now as we turn to thy word. And strengthen us for this hour, we pray. Grant that voice to speak and the hearing ear to thy dear people. And may thy word be made life and power to each soul. And may none be empty sent away. Do forgive, dear Lord, what we've uttered amiss. Help the deacons in the choice of the hymns, and bless them and guide them and direct them in the solemn office they hold. That we ask these poor breathing, seeking that thou wilt wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our High Priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. 120. Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Exodus, chapter 23, and the 20th verse. The book of Exodus, chapter 23, and verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and put them in the wilderness journey, he gave them many commandments how they should live, how they should walk, and how they should serve him. And in this chapter we find many instructions given by the Lord to them, what they should abstain from and what they should do, and in doing them there would be profit. But of course they were poor, fallen sinners, just like we are, and they were prone to start aside. But one would remind ourselves, we need to continually consider all the commandments which he gives to his dear people. We find on another occasion that Moses, the Lord's messenger to them, said, all the commandments which I command thee this day thou shalt observe to do. The reason the nation's in the solemn state it's in, and Zion in the low ebb that it's in, is for many have forgotten the commandments of the Lord and turn to themselves and turn to man and turn to serve Satan. But I don't intend to go through these commandments and laws which he gave them. This word seemed to rest upon me much yesterday, which we have named in verse 20, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Firstly, this word, behold. We immediately thought of dear John, the dear disciple in that first chapter, when he saw the dear Lord Jesus, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he desired that all those that he spoke to should behold, should see that precious Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And what an important message that is to God's dear children. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, that we may have that faith to behold him. And here they were to pause, they were to consider, they were to view the Lord going before them. So he says, behold. But then you will find throughout the Word of God, on so many occasions when the Lord had an important message for his dear people, it began with "Behold." We think of that word in the Revelations, what the Lord spoke to the angel of the church in Philadelphia: "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Yet thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name." You see what an important message that was to the church there. And here, with all these laws and commandments, and he had given them, in it is this beautiful word, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." And it seemed very sweet to me in thinking upon this word last evening. You know how many times throughout the precious word of God he refers, the Holy Spirit refers to an angel going before his dear people. But before we look at him going before his dear people, who is this blessed angel? You will notice here it begins with a capital letter. It was no ordinary angel. There were those angels that were created. The Lord wonderfully used them. But here is the uncreated angel, the Lord Jesus himself. And it was he that was to go before them. And let us bring it right home to us here this morning. Are there those of you that are longing and continually praying that the dear Lord Jesus will go before you in the journey, both in providence and in grace? I send an angel before thee. Well, think of the words of the dear Lord Jesus himself. He said, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. You see, in the East, Israel and those countries about it, the shepherd always goes before the sheep. He never drives them. He always goes before, and those sheep, they follow him. Now, in the shepherd going before them, he sees all the dangers there are. He knows where the green pastures are. David used it in Psalm 23, didn't he? That beautiful illustration of the Lord Jesus being the good shepherd, and how he goes before his sheep. He leadeth them into green pastures. He leadeth them beside the still waters. He restoreth their soul. The angel of the Lord. And we find too that after the resurrection, just tarrying with the dear Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, we find that beautiful word in Mark's Gospel where, as the dear disciples and those godly women go to the sepulchre, and we particularly of these dear women, and we read this: "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be ye not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And this is the word. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter, don't leave him out. Though he had denied his blessed Redeemer and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And you see how the dear Redeemer had gone before them into Galilee, and there they were to see him. It was the place appointed for them to see him. And you know they were to never to forget that occasion. And they could see how he'd gone before them, suffering, bleeding, dying, laying down that precious life and rising again. And now he goes before them as a risen Saviour into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Behold, I send an angel before thee. But then, this same blessed angel was revealed to dear old Jacob of old. We think of when he called Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh to his bedside. And there's a very precious and sacred word. It's very attractive to my soul. When he blessed Joseph. And what did he say? And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Now you think how the Lord walked before Abraham, walked before Isaac. He went before them in so many ways. And this is why the Lord so blessed them. And then we read this beautiful word. Dear Father Israel, on the brink of glory, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. The angel, this same blessed angel, that appeared to Father Israel Jacob was to appear for the children of Israel here in Exodus 23. Behold, I send an angel before thee. And then we think of when they came in Joshua's day to Jericho. You know, the Lord was to go before them. There were many things that burdened Joshua and the children of Israel in entering into Jericho. But oh, how the Lord went before them in it. And we read it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. That blessed man was none other than the Lord Jesus. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? You see, in Jericho there were so many adversaries. You may be plagued this morning with so many adversaries. But if the Lord go before you, poor soul, he can put them all down in a moment, as he did here. And he said, Nay, but as captain of the Lord's host am I now come. You see, this is what the dear Redeemer had come to deliver the children of Israel and Joshua, as he'd come as the captain of the Lord's host to fight for them, to deliver them, to bring them safely through. But what effect did this have upon dear Joshua? And what effect would it have upon you? And what effect did it have upon dear father Israel, Jacob? Well, we read concerning Joshua this. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. The effect will be like it did to Joshua. If I know anything about it at all, it'll humble us in the dust. We feel so unworthy. The Lord should go before, make the way, put down the enemies, deliver his dear children. You see, there's no room for self in the presence of the Lord. There's no room for our pride. There's no room for idols or the things of this earth or our self-righteousness. We shall be willing to be nothing. And this is where the Lord brought Joshua. Humbled, you see, that the Lord should ever go before him and drive out all those enemies. And we find it in this chapter, don't we? Further on, we read in verse 23, For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now this is what the Lord was going to do, you see. You think before them was the land of Canaan. There were all these enemies in the land. But the Lord would go before them and remove all those enemies. And you may be faced with mighty enemies in your own heart, poor soul, surrounding you in this solemn dark day. But if the Lord's going before you, he can put them down in a moment. Oh, he can. It's a wonderful thing, you know. The children of Israel experience it so often. But all these enemies coming against them, and that mighty enemy Satan, but the Lord in going before you can put them all down. Oh, he can. You look how the Lord went before Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego into that fiery furnace. We know the Lord was with them in it, but he went before them. Oh, he did. Into that furnace. So when the furnace flames were about to destroy them, they couldn't, because the Lord had taken away all power from the furnace regarding those three men. And he stood with them in it. And the same applied with Daniel. What did he say concerning those lions? My God hath sent his angel. Who was that angel? None other than the dear Redeemer. And hath shut the lion's mouths, that they cannot hurt me. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Let us bring it right home to us here. Are there those of you that need this? The angel of the Lord to go before you. You may have many crooked things to walk through. Well, you see, if he goes before you, the word comes, and I will turn to it because one's memory is not what it was, but you know, there's a wonderful word concerning the Lord going before his dear people in Isaiah 45. And it's this beautiful word to those that may have crooked things in your path and in your lot today. If he goes before you, what does he promise to do? I will go before thee. You notice how personal it is. In our text, it is personal. I send an angel before thee. It's personal, you see. We know collectively we each need the Lord to go before us, but oh, to experience it personally. And here he says to the Church of God, in Isaiah's day, I will go before thee. And when the Lord says he will go before thee, poor soul, he will. If the Lord promised you this, I remember some years ago, just to drop a personal note, I remember some years ago when I was at Ashwell as pastor, there were many crooked things that seemed to be in one's lot, and the Lord gave me this word with such power. He spoke it right into my soul. I will go before thee. And then what he would do in going before his dear children and make the crooked places straight. You cannot make them straight, can you? And nor can any man. But the Lord can. And he can do it in a moment. And make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Now this is what the Lord said he would do. And you know, I remember clear as anything the Lord doing that in every jot and tittle, in providence, in my soul, and in the church. And those crooked things that seemed so crooked, he just made them straight. I didn't have to touch them. You see, when the Lord works, he will do exactly what he has promised. And here he says to them, doesn't he? Behold, I send an angel before thee to make the crooked things straight, to make the rough places plain, to make the darkness light. And he said, didn't we, on another occasion, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Well, it may be in you young ones, in your providential pathway, you need the Lord to go before you. Commit it all to him. And if he goes before you, he can work in a way that may seem impossible to you. A few years ago, I had a young man in my own congregation. I won't go into details of it, but I'll just explain the position. But, you know, he was made redundant from his work. And it was a great trial with little children. And what would the issue be? And he tried for different jobs all around were advertised, and All those he went for the interview with, they said he was too qualified, they wouldn't employ him. And it got harder and harder, naturally speaking. And he had it laid in his heart to commit the whole, and for all the way through, to commit the whole matter into the hands of the Lord. And one day it was laid on him to write to companies that are not advertised in the field that he was in. And he wrote to one particular company and said that he'd been made redundant, and had they got any position for him. After a few days, the managing director phoned him and said, "Are you still seeking employment?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "Well, can you come and see me on Friday?" Well, like all those of you with qualifications, he got all the qualifications all ready, all the paperwork to take with him, and went for this interview. But you know, the Lord had gone before him. And when he got there, with much concern, knowing the Lord's mind in the matter and what the interview would be like, the managing director, he said to him, "Now, I don't want to see any of your qualifications." He said, "I've done some research. I know exactly what you're qualified for." And he said, "I've interviewed your former employer." And he said, "The job is yours, if you like to start on Monday." And he just showed him round the works and that. And it was so wonderful. He said, you know, he was just melted by it all. He said, all what I'd planned, I might have to give him and everything. In a moment, it was all took out of his hand. The Lord had gone before, you see. When he goes before, poor soul, he can make the most crooked thing straight, even in your providential pathway. Now, I don't know why I name that, but may you see the Lord go before you in all things. But let's use another illustration of this as helped. We think of those that may be exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And it seemed to drop in as I lay in bed this morning, early, thinking of this text. Personally, when the Lord so blessed me in 1963, I was so full, I felt, well, I must go and see the dear deacon. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, if it's right, do go before me in it and prepare the dear man for me coming." And you know, I took the journey, ventured there. And I shall never forget knocking the door, as I was only 18 at the time, and much apprehension of how he would receive me and whether I'd be able to speak to him. And as I knocked the door, you know, the dear man opened the door, and he was so tender as he opened it. He said, you know, he said, "I'm so pleased to see you. I've been waiting for you all day." And you know, I've never forgot it, how he spoke it, you know. The Lord had gone before and he'd laid it in the dear man's heart that I would come. And you know, when the Lord goes before his dear people, he can make the way where there seems no way. We can. But I should never forget the love he showed, you know. And it reminded me of a dear man in Bedfordshire. This was many years ago. You know, the Lord wonderfully blessed him. And he was so apprehensive about going to see the dear deacon, how he would receive him. And just before he left, praying his way along, he said to the Lord, "Lord, do come and go before me as I journey to that house." And he said, "If it's thy will," and he wasn't dictating to the Lord, but the Lord laid this in him. He said, "When I get there, may he say to me, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without?'" Well, the dear man ventured, and he knocked the door, and the dear deacon opened the door, and the first thing he said to him was, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without?" And you know, they both stood and wept before the Lord. You see, the Lord can grant real answers to prayer, real blessings. And when he goes before you, poor soul, you'll see the goodness of the Lord pass before you in the way. I think of that beautiful word there again, saying with Moses in Exodus. You know, the Lord, did he not say to him in that 33rd chapter, those beautiful words, and may the Lord speak it to some poor seeking soul today that's asking the Lord to go before you. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Moses besought the Lord this. He said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." This is what he begged of the Lord. And what did the Lord answer him? And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." We sing in the hymn, don't we? That beautiful hymn on that subject, where he says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way, in the way." Well, much should for be said concerning this first part of the text. "Behold, I send an angel before thee." Well, let's just tarry before I go further. Do you desire this blessed angel to go before you and to be with you? Well, it comes to one's mind, so I will name it. You think of the great burden that was laid upon Joshua when Moses was to be taken home to glory and he was to have to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Oh, the great weight of it upon dear Joshua. And what did the Lord give him? Through Moses. Moses was the messenger. The message came from heaven. That beautiful word in Deuteronomy 31. Sacred word. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And you know, in that word was everything that dear Joshua needed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Oh, it was. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee." Some of you may have steps before you to die. I don't know, but the Lord does. May that word be life and power to you. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. But then we find here, behold an angel, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. You know, we need him to go before us to keep us in the way. It's like that shepherd that we use the illustration of to start with. He goes before his sheep, so he knows the dangers, he knows the pitfalls, he knows the snares there are in the way, to keep thee in the way. And do we not need keeping in the way? Solemnly over the years, and it grieves me much, we have seen many, some that we have taken through the waters of baptism, but they've not been kept in the way. And the Lord promised them here, he would go before thee to keep thee in the way. And we need to pray continually, don't we, that he will keep us in the way. We're prone, we sing in the hymn, don't we? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And if we know our own heart, we shall know we cannot keep ourselves in the way. So often we have to pray, Lord, if we're not in the way, put us in the way and keep us in the way. And we need keeping in it, don't we? Not depart from it. We read solemnly in God's word of those that were not kept in the way. They wandered from it. And how many times the children of Israel left for a moment, they were wandering from the way, and so are we, aren't we? In our thoughts, in our actions, in our steps, we soon wander. We need keeping in our thoughts. We need keeping in our conversation. We need keeping in how we act. And we need keeping how we walk. You know, the Lord has given a beautiful promise. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And you know, I often think of that. Them that walk uprightly. I often think in one's heart, I say, Lord, keep me upright. Don't let me wander or backslide or deviate from the way. So he was going to go before them to keep thee in the way. And then this beautiful word, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Well, of course, that speaks of Canaan, the happy land. The land of pure delight. That's where he was to bring them. And he was to prepare the land. You see, this is why the Lord went before them into that land. To prepare them, the land for them. To remove all that. Those walled cities and those enemies that are in the land. The place which I have prepared. Well, I just want to hint at one or two things before we leave it. And firstly, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord brings his dear children into the church, a place prepared for them. Let me use an illustration. It comes to one's mind, so I'll name it. You think of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. And the Lord, you know, wonderfully went before him, and Rebekah came forth, didn't she? You know the account well. But we find there that beautiful word, come in there, blessed are the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? But we don't, the Lord didn't leave it there. For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And you think how the Lord had wonderfully prepared Rebekah and prepared the house of Laban and Bethuel. He gone before. The place, into the place which I have prepared. Now, it's a wonderful thing in the sanctuary, in God's house, you know, to be in the place that he has prepared for us to be. You see, we're living in a day where many seem to about to wander from this chapel to that chapel and somewhere else. They don't consider where's the place the Lord has prepared. And that's a wonderful thing when he prepares the house, you see. And then it may be in the church. He prepares the church to receive his dear children. And then, of course, it means a heaven. What did Jesus say in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Heaven, dear soul, is a prepared place for prepared people. Oh, it is. May that hymn we often sing, and Mr. John Gosling used to say when I was a lad, it was his prayer every day. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothed, and wash us in his blood, so shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. And oh, what a wonderful mercy it was that the Canaan's happy land was prepared for the children of Israel. A land flowing with milk and honey. A beautiful type of heaven. But oh, that soul that he prepares here will long to be with him without a veil between in glory. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text, if nothing I've rambled round this morning. Amen.
Collection last Lord's Day, which was for the disasters in Central America, amounted to £1,750.05, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with address by our friend Mr. Field. Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to take our Thanksgiving services on Saturday, and the afternoon at 3 o'clock and evening at 6:15. And the collections will be for the Oakington Chapel Fund. And Mr. Field is again expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. 804.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Thou bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.